And Jimmy Hyams, we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline to say hello to a special guest and a longtime friend of the program.
We do, and that is Mike Griffith. He's with the AJC, Dog Nation, and in two different stints, he covered the University of Tennessee. Mike, how are you?
Doing well, Jimmy. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for joining us. I want to jump into, I know that you've been interested in this. We have, certainly, from this end of it, the Cade Mays situation. Based on the comments that Commissioner Greg Sankey said yesterday, I'm not optimistic at all he's going to get a transfer waiver to play at Tennessee. What are your thoughts on that situation?
Yeah, Jimmy, it's interesting because the NCAA gave Cade clearance, and what's different is that the SEC has a rule on this also about transferring in conference, and the SEC athletic directors and coaches, they all voted on it. It was a unanimous vote. This is something when they meet in Destin every year, and I see you there every year, and they said, you know what, when kids transfer in conference, we want them to sit out a year. That's what they decided. As late as 2018, they appended those rules with some changes. You were there when they made exceptions if a team had a postseason ban. So this is a rule that the SEC ADs voted on, and now in hindsight, Lane Kiffin and Jeremy Pruitt and the Kentucky coach also want to say, you know what, let's go ahead and make an exception to that rule. It's like, well, now wait a minute. So for Georgia, look, Cade Mays is gone. That ship has sailed. They've replaced Cade. He would have started for Georgia. There's no question. He's a great offensive lineman. He played all five positions, started at all of them, also played fullback and tight end. So he's a great player. But that ship has sailed for Georgia. But I can see where Jeremy Pruitt's coming from. He's saying, you know, this is a special year. So the question would be, could the SEC hold a special meeting and get everyone to agree to forget about that rule for right now?
Well, and the other thing that I think is a source of frustration for the commissioner, and this is based on me being down there covering these meetings, I don't think there are people that come up every year and say, we need to amend this rule. So if you're not pushing to have it changed in Destin, then I think his frustration is, well, why are you coming to me with all these waivers after the fact? If you want to change the rule, change the rule. So I think that's kind of where he's coming from. Do you see his point?
I do. And, you know, I asked Lane Kiffin on the teleconference. I said, Lane, what's the flip side of this? Why wouldn't you want to make a guy eligible right away? And he said, well, probably because you start worrying about schools tampering with other players, and then the floodgates would open and everybody would start transferring. So That's what Lane Kiffin said. And I think he's got a good point. Now, I think you and I would agree in January this legislation's probably going to change and there's going to be that provision for a one-time transfer. It's just kind of a stinker that it hasn't changed right now for Cade Mays and Joey Gatewood, that quarterback that wants to go to Kentucky from Auburn, and Otis Reese, the defensive back that, you know, lost out his job at Georgia and he wants to play at Ole Miss. So It kind of stinks for those guys that the rule hasn't been changed yet. It's just a peculiar situation, you know. You're asking the SEC to go against the rule that all the ADs and I guess I'd be interested in what Philip Fulmer says about it. I guess he would have been on that vote too, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would have. Yeah. Let me ask you this: at quarterback, are the Bulldogs going with DeJuan Mathis, who redshirted last year after having the brain surgery to remove a cyst, or JT Daniels, who last time I looked, I don't know that he'd been cleared. Who's going to start at quarterback for the Bulldogs?
Yeah, you're right, Jimmy. JT hasn't been cleared yet. And, you know, really, because JT wasn't cleared a week ago, that was kind of the indicator that it's got to be DeJuan. Because they're very different quarterbacks. You know, DeJuan's a 6'6", 210 guy, really good feet. I think you're going to see him run the read option. He's got a big arm. He'll stretch you out if you bring too many close to the line. But a guy that can buy time back there, think about the raw version of Josh Dobbs. That's kind of who I would compare him to. They do have a little bit better offensive line than people think. Not sure who their number two receiver is. George Pickens is about as good a receiver as I've ever seen. He's really talented. Just got to see if he can control his emotions. But DeJuan is very raw, and I think they're probably going to rely on the read option a little bit against an overmatched Arkansas team.
Mike, was it a huge curveball for Georgia that Jamie Newman opted out?
No, John, I think the red flags went up when JT Daniels came here. And we knew that Tennessee, along with Michigan and Washington, really was after JT Daniels. He was the five-star quarterback from USC. He had a few 300-yard games, and he was part of a really tough season there. I think T was the offensive coordinator. They ended up having three different guys call plays in 2018. So you can imagine what type of situation that was for a cornerback. Sounds like Jared Garantano's career condensed in one season, right? With two play calls.
Yeah.
So it was really difficult on JT in that 1 year. And then he injured his knee in the first half of the first game last season. And Keaton Slovis came in there and just lit it up. So if you're JT Daniels, you're looking at this going, wow, you know, do I stick it out here where I know there's going to be, or do I go somewhere else? So the fact that he came to Georgia over Tennessee, over Michigan, over Washington, maybe better situations where he could have played earlier, that was kind of a red flag. Like, well, wait a minute. Maybe Jamie Newman's not the guy if JT Daniels' plane landed here in May. And the fact is, Jamie Newman played in that Dave Clawson offense at Wake Forest, and he wanted to come to Georgia and learn a pro-style offense. Well, when spring drills got canceled, that really made it difficult for Jamie Newman. So when JT got here in May, he probably was a little bit more well-versed in the pro-style offense, and it was going to be a very competitive situation. And if you're Jamie Newman, maybe you feel like, you know what, how about I go train somewhere else rather than deal with all this COVID protocol, and I'm not even sure if I'm going to be starting.
It didn't take long for Kirby Smart to ascend to the top of the Eastern Division. Bulldogs have ruled the roost of late. What kind of fuel to the fire is Florida being the media pick to win the East this year at this dawn of the season?
You know, we're singing the same verse here. How many years in Tennessee does that happen, right? I mean, it's just, there just seems to be something about Florida that's irresistible in the eye of the national media. Maybe it's all those large metropolitan cities. Maybe it's those colors and you know, the Gator mascot. I don't know. Or maybe it's just Georgia fatigue. The reality is Georgia's got a very young offense, and they've got to replace a lot of people. Now, I think they've got a great defense. I don't know if a great defense is enough. They're going to have to find some semblance of an offense. I will say that the schedule favors Florida, and not so much with the opponents, but with a couple of stats. For example, Florida's one of only three SEC teams that doesn't play back-to-back road games. Alabama and Ole Miss are the other two. And then you look at Florida having five home games, and then one of their road games is Jacksonville. Georgia, meanwhile, has four home games, and one of their home games is Jacksonville, a 349-mile plane ride. So that's not good. And then you look at Georgia's schedule, and it's front-end loaded. You know, maybe if they had Mississippi State and Missouri and Vanderbilt here in September or early October, you'd have some time for this offense to shake out. But instead, you got one layup out there in Arkansas, and then you get down to business. You got rivalry against Auburn at home, and then you got Tennessee. And Jeremy's going to put a hurt on you. He may not beat you, but they're going to bruise you. Tennessee's not going to forget that hit they put on that quarterback last year. That hit's not going away. That's going to be a physical Tennessee-Georgia game. Then you got Alabama the next week, and that's just the game of the century, right? You can imagine all the hype on that. And if you get too hyped up and go to sleep, you know, you got a chance going up to Kentucky. Now, Kentucky, just going to say it, they don't beat themselves anymore. They've gotten respectable. So, to me, that Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, Kentucky, I think that's about as physical of a four-game stretch as there is in the league.
Our guest, Mike Griffith, he is with the AJC and Dog Nation. Mike, does Georgia have the best defense in the SEC, better than Alabama's?
I think they got the best defense in the country, Jimmy. Now, the numbers probably won't bear that out because you're playing an SEC-only schedule. You know, whereas I bet Clemson's numbers look really good this year. You're playing an ACC-only schedule or a Big 12. Well, they don't play defense there. It's probably a bad example. But the Big 10 playing an eight-game league schedule. So the numbers may not bear it out. But based on last year, Georgia led the nation in scoring defense, run defense, third in total defense, eighth in pass efficiency defense. They bring back 80% of the production in 8 of 11 starters. And there's no room for complacency because there's competition for playing time. They're deep, Jimmy. They're built for the season run. They've got that second and third level of depth on defense. Offensively, though, this is going to be interesting. The sooner they get JT healthy, the better, because he can fly the jet. He can play pro style. He can spread the ball around. But if you got Dwan out there, who's very talented, but remember, young Josh Dobbs, you know, how many people can he really get the ball to? Can he get through his progressions? Can he set the protections? One of those somebody's band going to play type of players early on.
If there were a weakness with Georgia, would it be the offensive line, where I think they've lost a lot of starters?
They did, but they're really talented. You know, they're going to be fine on the offensive line. I would say receivers still. You know, especially if they decide to go pro style, because when you play pro style, you rely on your quarterback and your receiver to make the same read on those defensive backs. They got to work in concert, right? It's choreographed almost, and you got a brand new quarterback, and you got a brand new offensive coordinator, brand new terminology, and you didn't have spring drills. So it makes me wonder if this passing game can get up to speed fast enough to beat a team like Alabama. Or, you know, you don't have as much margin for error against a Tennessee or a Kentucky. You know, having Jake Fromm, you know, there's a lot of revisionist history. Oh, he was just a terrible quarterback. He's so terrible, he beat all his rivals three times in a row. I mean, Jake Fromm fixed a lot of wrong things on that field with his ability to manage the offense. And Jake's gone. So now you're relying on a lot of newness, and I don't think you have the margin for error against the Tennessees and the Kentuckys that maybe you had in past years when you had an experienced quarterback and in an offense, you know, that it had some continuity about it.
Our guest, Mike Griffith, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Mike, what has been the impact on Georgia and its workouts as well as the buildup to the season when it comes to the coronavirus? Have they had many guys that were quarantined? Have they had many guys that missed? How has it gone in Athens for the Dogs?
Well, you know, Kirby's got that wall put up. He learned a lot from Nick Saban, including his media hospitality, which is to say none. So they don't put out a lot of information. We don't really know, but from what we've been able to gather between the lines, they haven't had many cases. And Kirby even said out loud once, could that be a disadvantage? I don't think there's any coach out there, guys, that would want their players to get coronavirus in the off season so they don't got to worry about the season. I don't think any coach would want that. But could that be a silver lining for the teams that have had that circumstance? I don't think Georgia has had that circumstance. So you wonder how that could affect the team later on if 3 or 6 or 14 guys go out. Does that mean a game cancellation, or does it mean you play without your starting left tackle and starting left guard because they line up next to each other every day, or your top 2 or 3 receivers, a position where the depth could come into play as receiver? So I think it's been hard on Georgia, but it's been hard on everybody. I mean, it's affected you guys. It's affected us. It's affected everybody in the world. And it's just a matter of how much gumption and how much motivation you have to get through it. And Georgia's got their eye on the prize. You don't see anybody opting out here. Jamie Newman left, but you know he wasn't like in the program and that invested. He just arrived in January. So I think you've got a team of Georgia guys that are really set on winning the title. You got juniors that became seniors that came back, like Monty Rice, the middle linebacker, Richard LeCount. He's a senior safety. He could have gone pro. Eric Stokes. Malik Herring, they had 3 or 4 guys that would have been drafted in the first 3 or 4 rounds that came back. So I think they're pretty dialed in, but I think it's been a tough road for them.
Well, Mike, we appreciate it. Thank you for joining us. Great insight. Hope you enjoyed this weekend and hope you enjoyed the season and hope we have a full season. But do appreciate it, and thanks for your look at the Georgia Bulldogs.
All right. Stay safe, guys. Thank you.
You too,
okay,
Mike.
Thanks,
thank
Mike.
You.
And that is Mike Griffith. He is with the AJC and Dog Nation.
Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.